I want to keep the sermon brief today because we have a congregational meeting afterwards, and we have a time limit on that. But you need to know that it breaks my heart that I'm not going to have time to talk about our first reading from Isaiah 56. It's so good. I commend it to you. Go read it. Read the part that gets skipped over, too. That part's really good, too. And you'll see how it fits in with what we're talking about. It's pretty straightforward stuff. Just needed to say that. So, to our gospel lesson for today, where it sounds like Jesus needed a break. He goes off to a faraway region, to like the next land over, where people don't worship the God of Israel at all, where people don't know about Abraham and whatever else, or supposedly, where theoretically people don't know as much about Jesus, and they'd probably leave him alone. I think of it as maybe Jesus was trying to go on vacation. But as soon as he gets there, he no more than gets to the border of the land, and this woman comes out, this woman from over there, who shouldn't even know who he is or know anything about this, but she calls him Lord and Son of David. And she says, have mercy on me. My daughter is being tormented by a demon. You can save her. Now, a woman, a Canaanite woman, this is like from the enemy land, and a woman, somebody who supposedly doesn't know about God at all. So what in the world is she doing talking to Jesus? The right thing, officially, the polite society thing for Jesus to do would be to ignore her, to not talk to her at all. He's not supposed to be talking to a woman from some other land. It's not appropriate. It's not right. And so he ignores her. That's what the customs of the time would have him do. But this woman does not take no for an answer. She keeps shouting. She keeps following. She comes right up and kneels before him. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. And finally, Jesus is forced to talk, he's confronted with this woman right there before him, pleading for healing for her innocent daughter. And Jesus says some weird stuff about how he's only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's not here to take care of these Canaanites or whoever those people are. Now, by the end of Matthew's gospel, he's very clearly changed his tune when the Great Commission tells him to go to all nations. And Jesus remembers the promises from Abraham on that through Israel all nations will be blessed, as we heard in our first reading from Isaiah today. But in this moment, Jesus is like, look, I'm just trying to be on vacation. I'm only supposed to be dealing with the Jewish people, God's chosen people, the people of Israel. That's the job right now. And this woman is having none of it. This woman is persistent. This woman demands justice and healing and wholeness for her daughter. And this woman is faithful. She believes Jesus can do this. Why she believes that, where she heard this story, I don't know. Maybe nobody knows. But she believes that Jesus can do this. And then Jesus has the audacity to insult her, calls her a dog, and says, we don't feed the children's food to the dogs, the children of God, of the house of Israel, by which you mean. And she doesn't get offended, she doesn't get mad, she doesn't yell at him or throw something at him. Instead, when he calls her dog, she argues successfully. She says, yeah, but even the dog can eat the crumbs from the table. She doesn't argue, hey, center me, hey, make it be about me. She doesn't argue that she's not second class. She doesn't even argue that she belongs. She just argues that God has enough, even for her. That God's mercy is enough, even for her and for her daughter. And finally, Jesus breaks down to compassion, as we've heard Jesus' compassion in miracles these last recent weeks. You know, when Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist, and he was grieving, and he went off by himself, and he came back and wound up feeding 5,000 people after healing so many. And then when he walks across the water, and he has compassion on his disciples who are terrified because they think they're seeing a ghost, and so he calms the storm. Jesus has compassion, even on this woman, even when he's trying to be on vacation, even when he thinks he's off the clock and he's out in a place where nobody should even know who he is. Still, he's identified, and even though he argues, he resists being compassionate, ultimately, he has compassion. And he commends this woman, great is your faith, and he gives her what she asks, because she was faithful, because she was persistent, and because what she was asking for was right, and he knew it. And so Jesus had compassion on this woman. Now, backing up to the first half of our reading, Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples the latest disagreement he's had with the religious authorities in that time. So, you know, the law, as we all know, said that eating certain foods or eating foods in certain ways is bad. There's lots of regulations about how to do things. And most of those laws, you know, kind of make sense because this stuff is more likely to be bad. And if you don't wash your hands before you eat, you're more likely to get sick. I mean, that's actually really basic, normal things. That's part of the law that Jesus is kind of knocking down today. So it's not like the laws themselves are bad. But the point is that the religious authorities of his day were using those laws to delineate who was in and who was out, who was good and who was bad. It's not that the laws themselves are bad, but when the laws are used to exclude people and to be wielded as power over people, then that wasn't good. That wasn't good. And so Jesus explains, you know, it doesn't really matter how you eat. What matters is how you treat people, how you treat other people. So he, you know, he has that list of bad things. I'll just call them sins. I know he doesn't. They're not like a comprehensive list of sins, but that's basically what they are. All of those hurt other people. Evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. All of those things hurt other people. If you don't wash your hands before you eat, now we've seen we live in a pandemic, so we've seen that that can hurt other people, but much less directly. And that's not really the point of that, right? The law, people are starting to treat the law as in like, if you do this, you're offending God, you're hurting God. Well, nobody can hurt God. That's ridiculous. Come on. God can take it. God can handle it. Just like the woman, the Canaanite woman knew, God's grace was big enough even for Canaanites, even for enemies of God's chosen people. God's grace is big enough for everybody. And in that same spirit, Jesus realizes that God is not the one who's going to be hurt when you break the law. But when you break these other laws, when you do these other things, then people will be hurt. And that's bad. Duh. It's bad to hurt other people. It ain't rocket science. It's something everybody already knew. But instead of focusing on that, they were focusing on the little things that didn't hurt people, that didn't hurt God, that didn't hurt anybody. Again, as a way to claim power over other people and to control other people's behaviors in their lives. Jesus is really suggesting that our relationship with God doesn't depend on our relationship with God directly, as much as it depends on our relationship with other people. If you want to get right with God, get right with other people. That's part of the message that Jesus is saying today. I don't think that's an all-inclusive whole, you know, the whole story, but that is an important part of what Jesus is trying to tell us today. It's the, you know, some people say, if you want to know what somebody's really like, watch how they treat their server in a restaurant, right? How do they treat a waiter? How do they treat the busboy? How do they treat the woman who's bringing their food or the cook who makes their food? When we treat people like servants, like less than, then it shows what we really think of everybody. I mean, the Bible is full of this stuff. How you treated the least of these is how you treated me, Jesus says. You know, this is ultimately the message, that how we treat people matters. It's not that it matters for our salvation. It's not that if we don't treat other people well, we're damned to hell. It's not like that. It matters because it hurts people, and hurting people matters to God. And hurting people separates us from God. Because if we think it's okay to hurt other people, then we're not living in right relationship with God or our neighbor. That's just what it is. That's just what it is. Now, Jesus talks about what came out. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles. It's what comes out. And what comes out is our words and our actions. The things that come from our heart, our intentions, and our sometimes not even intentions, sometimes just our willingness to overlook other people or ignore other people. Those things that come out, those are the things that have the potential to harm our relationship with God. So this Canaanite woman, right? This Canaanite woman, what came out of her mouth? Well, it was good things. It was persistent calls for justice and persistent faith. She didn't give up. She didn't stop talking. She didn't stop demanding justice and wholeness for her innocent daughter. And the whole time she believed that Jesus could do this. She had no doubt that Jesus could do it. Even with the crumbs, even with the little bits of leftovers, she knew that Jesus could do this for her, that God was big enough to do this for her. Those are the things that come out that are helping other people, that are caring for others, that show that this woman had a better relationship with God than the so-called people who are supposed to know better. This foreign, different, doesn't even worship God, maybe woman, somehow knew better because of how she acted, how she treated other people. In these days, there's still a lot of protesting going on. There's another protest at the George Floyd Memorial in Minneapolis tomorrow. I might go up there for that. I think it's at 3 o'clock. You know, we hear protesters demanding justice for Breonna Taylor, whose killers have not been arrested. We hear demands for justice for George Floyd, and the killer was arrested, but it remains to be seen whether he'll be convicted and how that works. You know, as I hear these protesters day after day and week after week demanding justice for these people, I hear echoes of the voice of this Canaanite woman demanding justice, being persistent, not stopping, and having faith that good can come of this. If they didn't think protests worked, if they thought that nobody would listen to them, they'd go home. But they have, bizarrely, I mean, think about this. The protesters at the George Floyd Memorial, ultimately, these are people who are demonstrating that they have faith that the justice system in this country can do the right thing. It's remarkable. I mean, those of us who sit at home think, oh, that's a shame, but nobody's going to do anything about it. He's not going to get arrested. It's gonna... We're showing less faith in the system than the people out there on the street, and I think that's really remarkable. And again, this Canaanite woman is the paragon, the example of that kind of behavior, of all the you know, black women mostly are leading these things on the streets in our cities, not just in Minneapolis and St. Paul, but all around the country, demanding justice and having faith that justice can come and being persistent, showing up every day. For me, these are powerful lessons in how to engage in God's work as it exists in our lives and in our communities. The compassion that Jesus had superseded his own comfort. He wanted to be on vacation, but this woman convinced him, so he had compassion, so he did God's work. The persistence and faith of this woman, who she knows what's right and she demands it, even though she's the wrong person, she's from the wrong place, she's a woman in a time when women weren't supposed to be listened to. The wrong person, and yet she did the right thing. She stood up for those who needed her, in this case, her daughter. And finally, Jesus' clear statement that it's not about what we take in that separates us from God, but it's about what comes out of us in our treatment of those around us. That's how we see our relationship with God. What you really think of God is what you think of the neighbor in need. And as we follow Jesus together, we can keep these examples in mind, knowing that Jesus died and rose again for us so that we can do these things. It's not that we have to do these things or else. It's that this is what it means to follow Jesus. This is what it means to participate in God's work. It's compassion. It's faithful persistence for justice. And it's recognizing that how we treat other people matters. Not because it matters for my salvation, because it matters for their lives, because those people's lives matter. Amen.